Good morning.
Good morning.
As I said, it's wonderful to be back. Can everybody hear me?
Yes.
Y'all may remember a book that was written by Eric Butterworth called Discover the Power Within You. And that's the title of this message. It's not that I'm going to talk about that book so much. I think most people have read it. If not, I highly recommend it. It's wonderful. And what I'd like to do this morning is go a little bit farther than what is in the pages of that book, building on the ideas that Butterworth had, which was that we needn't beg a reticent God for blessings, but that the blessings are at hand and we line up ourselves with the thoughts that God has about us. Now, one of the things that I like to focus upon is primitive Christianity, because it was a very powerful and wonderful thing that spread throughout the regions of the places where Jesus taught and, for want of a better word, evangelized. We need to realize that the first gospel was written 70 years after the death of Jesus. So many of the things that we learn came down through writing and understanding and realizing that the Spirit gave utterance after those years. Although it was very, very powerful, because it continued to bless and spread beyond the confines of the little place that it began, where it began, which culminated in the Calvary or Golgotha, the skull, the hill of the skull, which is where Christ was crucified. And at that time, Christianity, in a primitive way, was born. And so what excites me was the fact that it was accepted so quickly as it moved through its infancy. It had a lot of enthusiasm from its promoters. Paul, as you know, had a wonderful conversion on the road to Damascus. It was a very powerful, powerful thing, primitive Christianity. And what happened was we homogenized it. We got hold of it. Authorities, religious authorities, got hold of it and placed a lot of rules and regulations and doctrines around things that Christ never meant to have put around it. The reason I know he never meant it was because it's not recorded that way. And if he did want these rules and regulations, it wasn't put forth in any gospel. I've said many times that it was always about now with Christ, and it was always about our divine connection in the here and now. And I believe that we've lost the spirit in many ways of that primitive Christianity. The power within, too many times, has been delivered over to people who we say have the power for us. One of the church's great ideas is that you just need to listen to us. We write a creed, we write a dogma, and you follow it. But after so many hundreds of years, there were people who said, I experienced the divine personally. I know that Spirit is talking to me personally, regardless of what the authorities would say. I believe that you are your own authority. And I believe that you can discover the power within you right now. I believe it's a thought away. And that sounds very flippant sometimes to some people, and it's almost trite that you can change your life on a dime. But I believe it, because the power flows when you change your mind, when you decide to see circumstances differently than they are, when you decide to make another decision about something that you've held on to for a long time, whether it's good or bad, whether it's working for you or not. The change begins here, and from here flows everything. I think that many times we feel like there'll be a mighty inrushing of God's power that wasn't there before. I believe we're realizing it when we feel that more than before. In other words, I don't believe that God withholds at one time and gives it another. The sun doesn't do that. The earth continues to revolve. There are certain laws that are in effect that are part of our universe, And I think divine love is a constant and a consistent. So the power is available. We just have to hook ourselves into it. Or as Eric Butterworth said, how long does the darkness take to flee from a room when you flip the light switch on? And was it real in the first place? The darkness seemed apparent until the light was on. The darkness in us seems apparent until we turn our lights on. And we do that by forgiving ourselves, forgiving other people, changing our minds, changing our thoughts, changing our lives. It sounds very simple. It is. But it's not sometimes easy. And that's why I am also a proponent of journaling, of groups that meet together for a common purpose, spiritual groups, those that are studying whether to make themselves better, to make their situations better, to understand themselves more. I believe that you and me are apertures through which God sees himself / herself. In other words, I believe that God gave us the gift of being ourselves with God, him, her, looking out as us. In other words, we have the wonderful ability to create our own world and be gods with a small g of our experience. Are there going to be things that happen that we don't understand? Of course. There is no way that I can explain everything that's happened or will happen, even to me, much less to you. But I do know that there's a promise made from those, from the one who we believe in to those that will accept it, that power is available, that healing is available, and that wholeness exists right now. It's very hard sometimes to see that when we're in the middle of trouble, heartache, despair, despondency, depression, those negative things that hold us back. It's very hard to grasp that. It takes a moment where you interrupt that flow by saying, I'm going to choose to think what God thinks about me. And what does God think about you? God only knows perfection about you. Because if he, she knew imperfection, that would have to be part of God. You see, we're here to learn things that we either forgot or need to remember or need to learn anew. And we're also together in a group because we are teachers and students of one another. We're learning how to go back to where we were. Why did we want to leave that sacred place is an answer that I don't have right now. But I think we wanted to be more and express more of who we were, and God approved of that. The idea that God approves of this is that we wake up every morning, this universe goes on. A baby, as it said, is God's opinion that life should go on. And I believe that. We just have to get in the flow of it. That's another Butterworth book, In the Flow of Life, which I highly recommend. The idea being that you encapsulate in yourself all that you can understand, all that you can understand about yourself, all that you can understand about your brother, your sister, and the world. That's all you're going to express. And if something happens to come to you that's different than that level, it won't stay very long. You only resonate with the predominant energy that you have inside. And if you've taken the God power and pulled it down through resentment, through anger, through negativity, it's going to present itself in a slow, negative way. In other words, and without getting a little woo-woo here, the ectoplasm, the neuroplasticity, so to speak, you think into it and it responds to you. That's the beauty of what God has done for us. When people say, why doesn't God change it? He does. You are able to think into this wonderful area of divine mind what you will, and it comes back to you and it responds to you. What more could we want God to do without us being robots? We say we want God to come in and change something, but you see, that takes away our ability to choose. We're writing our lives as we go. That's the beauty of it. And the so-called tragedies and the so-called joys can be part of the same continuum. They're part of things that make us who we are. There are reasons that we had to go through everything we did. And sometimes we'll understand that now, and sometimes I don't think we'll understand it until the great divide, until we look back and see why we had to go through this, why this was a part of our circumstance. I asked that question to myself. I asked it, believe me, when I was offered to be ordained by exception by Catherine Ponder, and I turned it down because I didn't feel like I should hold myself out as a minister. But the call came 10 years later, and it was unmistakable, and I followed it. Why did that happen? Would have saved me a lot of trouble. I can get into that place in me where I'm wishing I did something different until I realize every single step led me where I am, and I'm happy to be there. So you see, these human ideas of woulda, coulda, shoulda are things that we do to ourselves that just bind us and hurt us. And when we could let that go and say, but I'm here now, and the evidence that this had to happen is that it happened. So release self-blame. I did that after a while, and I realized that it's unfolding as it should. I literally say to Spirit, have your way with me. Have me think what you want me to think. The more that I do that, the more my life's going to work. The more that I get in my own ego and my own personality and all that, what I call mental sludge, the slower I go. The more it's hard to get up in the morning, the more it's hard to journal, the more I don't feel the clearness of Spirit coming through me. And I know when it does because it almost feels electric. And I feel happy and I feel at peace with things, even when they apparently are showing the outside signs are showing things to the contrary. I know this is God's world. And I know that Jesus said, as you believe it is done unto you, I tell you so many times that you are thrown back on yourself by Christ Jesus. You always own the power. And I remember in the healing parts of the gospel that Christ Jesus said, it is done to you as you believe. Not because I reach out and give you divine dispensation, but because you believed in the healing message that I have presented, or you believed and held thoughts of healing. Otherwise, anybody could look at somebody and say, take up your bed and walk, and they'd do it. In his presence, he was so in touch with his inner self, with the Christ, that people were healed in his presence. We're called upon to do that. Not necessarily to be healers of everybody, but to so radiate a presence of love and joy and wonder and positivity that people say, I want what you have. I don't have to tell you that I go to ABC Church, and I don't have to tell you that the minister is this or that. You see it radiating in my life, and you say, I want some of that. That's the best way of advertising any type of spirituality, is not by promotion, but by attraction. Wanting what somebody has because their life is a beacon of love, forgiveness, and power. That's what any good minister reminds you of. There is nothing that gives special dispensation to you but your own realization of your divinity. So when you discover the power within yourself, when you take hold of circumstances and say, this is not going to be this way for anymore, I choose to process this differently, I choose another way, you're exercising your God power. And you have that ability to do that from the time that you're conscious of who you are to the very end. You can make decisions and you can keep choosing and keep choosing over and over again until love is the only thing you recognize in your life for yourself and for others. This power that I'm talking about is the stuff of stardust. It's the stuff that the universe was made of. It keeps this world turning. It keeps the sun going. This is the inner. You're part of that. You're an aperture through which the divine is viewing itself. And you get to think what you want. And I've said before, it is sometimes fun to think negatively. It sometimes feels good for a minute. Just like downing a high sugar drink will give you energy for about 10 minutes and you crash. It gives us a false sense of aliveness, and we get to blame. Blame is such a waste of time. It gives away power. Self-blame is particularly bad. It hurts us. It tells us that somehow by thinking enough, we can go back and undo something that's already done. You can't do that. That's why every day is new. That's why the scriptures and the wonderful teachers talk about newness of life. You can walk in newness of life. You can own that power. I've proven it. I love it. I've loved truth for 38 years because I continue to see that it works. And it works when I get out of the way. See, this opinion that I have about me called Jay can mess up things so bad. But if I step over into this part where I say I am pure spirit, I know that God only knows perfection about me, I am embracing the truth, then something happens because I've removed my preconceived notions about what that power looks like. It may look like taking a nap. It may look like taking a walk. Or it may look like going to somebody that I didn't have the best time with and saying, I want to make things better. You see, you know it down deep because it's the little voice that says, I'm the little voice. You can hear it by, as Emerson said, lowly listening. And that's why the sages tell us to get quiet. Because if you notice during meditation, sometimes what'll happen is the monkey mind jumps back and forth, and words and people and ideas, it's like it won't shut up. I heard one spiritual teacher say that the thing that he wanted the most, more than money, influence, power, was for his mind to leave him alone. And I know that feeling. I feel it jump in, and it does that, but it does it less when I meditate. And then finally, I come to a realization where I feel I'm pure spirit, and I say, this negative thought is like a leaf blowing on a patio. Here it comes, and there it goes. That's part of a healing. That's part of awareness. That's part of being able to step back and be aware. Not necessarily being proactive in that moment, but just being aware of what's inside. When you're aware of it, you can heal it. What they say, if you feel it, you can heal it. So I'm not a proponent of pushing feelings down, and I'm not a proponent of spray painting affirmations over things just to make it look good. Bring it up. Have the courage to look at it. You're not looking at it alone. God is with you. And my most wonderful position is to remind you of things you already know. Education comes from the Latin word educare. It means to draw forth. In other words, there's nothing I'm going to tell you that you don't inherently know already, but I'm bringing it forth by maybe something I'm saying, the questions that I ask. You have this power. You own it. And nobody should ever tell you otherwise. If you feel that you want to discover power that you don't have right now, try something this week. I'm going to give you a few suggestions. First of all, forgive yourself and other people. Christ Jesus said, if you have aught against your brother, forgive. Why look at the speck in your brother's eye and ignore the board in your own? So the idea was, get straight with yourself. Forgive yourself or others. The next thing is, believe. Believe and it's done unto you. Believe that things can be different, that you can change, that something that has been difficult now becomes flows because God is with you and you accept and are in the divine flow. You are in the way of things that you want to have happen. You sort of like not outline, but you have a mental image of where you want to go and you follow that. And don't be so unmovable with it that you can't accept God's gentle nudges to go this way or that way. It's about learning too. Don't take it so seriously. You know, another spiritual teacher, Alan Watts, said, man's problems is that he takes seriously what the gods meant for fun. What the gods are playing with. There's a divine element of playfulness. Let's not get so engrossed in our tragedies and our upsets that we forget the playfulness and the wonder of life. Yes, there's evidence that this is a sad world, but there's also a lot of evidence that it's great. You can't have people with free will get together on a round planet and not have some things happen that we don't understand. But we hold to the good, and we know that even in the apparent badness that we may see, goodness is being worked out. That's faith. Sometimes takes a lot of it. You forgive yourself, you remember who you are and believe, and the third thing is you release the outcome without outlining exactly how it has to be. In other words, you may be led to forgive somebody something that you thought you'd done a long time ago. It may come up. You may want to go back to a person, a situation, and try to remedy, change, or make amends. You may want to go out and start a new career. You may want to do any number of things, and you say, where is this coming from? Follow it. That's the beauty of hunches, intuition, of God-uttered truths, when we talk about listening to our gut. God-uttered truths, the ones that tell you to go do the things that you say, how am I ever going to do that? As Shirley MacLaine said, the way to get the fruit of the tree is to go out on a limb. And that's scary sometimes. But it's eminently worth it. Life is a daring adventure. It's nothing. Treat it like a daring adventure. That doesn't mean you have to go out and do daredevil things, but it means take a chance for something that's different for you. Try different food. Try another place to live if you want. Try another career. Try another job. We have a holiday on Earth right now. We have a very short, relatively short period of time. We can make the most of it. We make the most of it by how we process it and how we think. So when I say discover the power within you, I'm just not talking about the power to move mountains and prayer. That's all wonderful. I'm talking about the power for everyday life to make it a jewel, a gem that you remember. And you string enough of those together, you've got a wonderful life. And there's nothing that you have to regret when that time comes. When you can look back on it and say, I really did the best I could do. And to those things that may be undone, I let it go. I did what I knew how to do. I'm asking you today, do what you know how to do that only you know. You know what's inside you. You know what's germinating in you. You know what you want to believe, what you want to feel, what you want to have, what you want to do. It's all up to you. And that's the beauty and the wonder of choice. And that's the beauty and wonder of being God's child. And that's the beauty and wonder of mirroring God's thoughts about us. Because I will also mention, when you heal yourself, you're helping heal the whole world. You're vibrating at a certain energy frequency that taps into the same thing that millions of others may be doing, or hundreds of thousands at that moment. Think of it. You're lifting not only your consciousness, but the consciousness of the planet. Thinking God thoughts. Thinking the best thoughts about yourself. I challenge you this week, go out and think those wonderful thoughts. Have a blast. And remember, don't forget to laugh and don't forget to have fun. That's part of the process as well. I send you peace and joy, and I declare your best is yet to come, and so it is. Thank you. Thank you.